This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
And now, from beyond our dimension, this is the Jeff Mara Podcast. Here's Jeff.
My guest is Trish Lanane, who had a profound near-death experience during a medical procedure where she was given knowledge and insight into her purpose and then experienced what she would call a multidimensional death. Trish, thank you for joining me and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Trish, can we start on the day that it happened? And if you need a little backstory, we can start there as well.
Yeah, I think I had a few sort of profound experiences, so it's almost hard to pick which one to start with. But I guess I'll start sort of where a lot of things started happening in the lead up. So about 2 years ago now, I was going through a period of my life where things were very stagnant. I was in sort of a job that I knew I shouldn't have been in anymore, but it was sort of comfortable. And I wanted to make some changes in my life. I knew that I was being pushed to make some changes in my life, but I wasn't really doing anything to get there. And I felt like the longer I put things off, it was one of those times when things around you start to crumble away. And I started having sort of really bad runs of luck. I started having just, I've gone blank now.
Sorry. That's okay.
Track. Things like this going blank, when I try to make a plan, I might lose my train of thought or feel like I'm a bit distracted. It sort of felt like I was being pulled in a few different directions when I was trying to move forward in my life. And I guess a major event that happened was I had a period where there were a few traumas that I had in a row, you know, a relationship with someone sort of suddenly ended. I got sick and was not doing really well physically. A few things like bang, bang, bang in a row. And that led to a really strange experience where I was feeling like I started having really vivid dreams. At the time, I thought it was because I was sick, and it was sort of what they say is like a fever dream. I started having dreams that seemed very realistic and not like I was in a dream. And I think if I was to pick a where did everything start story, it would be I had a dream that I was being put into a coffin, and I was sort of, this coffin was on the back of a horse-drawn carriage. And I remember being in the dream, being sort of scared, but then going, it's okay, this is just a dream. I was talking to myself and going, it's okay, there's nothing to worry about, this is a dream. And then I realized I couldn't wake up from the dream. And I remember feeling like I was sort of suffocating. And I felt like something was pushing on my chest. And I woke up and it was sort of like I was a bit stuck in between the dream and waking up. And so looking back, I feel like that was where things started getting strange for me. So it was not long after that that I got sick, and I ended up having a bunch of autoimmune problems and fatigue and all this sort of stuff. And this, I had some visions as well that it was related to that experience, where I felt like it was almost like I was being stolen, like I'd been tricked into going somewhere. Like in the start of the dream, I thought it was, we're just going for a ride and this is a dream, and I wake up, but I feel like I was almost being, again, like I said, pulled in a certain direction. And that continued as my health declined as well. And I remember a really clear vision, one of my fever dream visions, that I'd sort of been dragged down into, I guess what you'd say is like some sort of underworld. And it was like when I was down there, I knew that I could get out. So it felt almost like a test, like something negative was dragging me down and I had to fight my way out. And that really sums up the whole experience of what was going on with my health as well. I had a lot of things going on that I'd go to doctors and not get answers. It was just test after test. And a lot of it at the beginning was your tests are fine, but I obviously wasn't fine. I had very real physical symptoms. So I remember, I'm one of those people who I always know that I can get myself out of hard situations. I know I'm going to be okay. So I think there was this sort of, as I was having these visions of me being, you know, dragged down into negative stuff, I was very confident. I think I was almost a bit too confident. And I was almost poking fun at sort of, I had a sense that there was some sort of negative entities around me. And I was sort of poking fun going, don't you know who I am? I'm going to get myself out of this easily. And I think in a lot of my visions, I was just swinging a sword around and skipping around. I'm like trying to, you know, I was a bit childish. I was telling these sort of entities, you know, come and get me. Which looking back was not smart because a lot of other stuff happened where I just got worse and worse with my health. But what this led to was I had a problem with my eyes. Basically, my immune system was not working at all and I had some sort of inflammation around my eyes. I went to an ophthalmologist and she said that I had basically had sort of lumps on the inside of my eyelids. So I didn't know they'd been there, but she said the quickest way to get rid of them was to just go into surgery and get them out. And it was sort of just meant to be a quick procedure, just day surgery. I'd be going home later that afternoon. And I remember going into this surgery. By this time, I had been unwell for about 9 months. And I'd been wondering, like, am I ever going to get better? And I think when I went into this surgery, I was had a feeling going into it that I might die in this and I'm okay with that, which was a really strange thought for me to have because to me it wasn't a big, massive surgery. So I should have known I'd be fine. But I remember going in saying, like, you know, I've been through all this. I'm tired. If something goes wrong, oh, well. and I think because I'd been so fatigued for a long time, I was honestly just excited to have a little sleep. So I remember going into this surgery feeling like it's all going to be fine. And I was sort of like, let's get this done. And then while I was waiting, I got overcome with this sort of panic feeling. I felt like something really bad was going to happen. And it felt a bit different than just, you know, regular nerves when you're going into something like that. I felt almost like this just impending doom feeling. And I actually, looking back, I felt I was about to say the word that I feel is I wanted to get out of my body. So it was just this panic, I want to escape sort of feeling. But I think I brushed it off just as nerves. And I got into the surgery and I remember going to sleep And from there, it feels a bit like, again, it sort of feels a bit like that dream state where things are maybe a bit slow motion and blurry. I remember having like really clear visions of me being back in that sort of underworld space. When I was there, it's really hard to explain this verbally. I had a sense that I was there, but there was also another version of me, which looking back, I feel like maybe was my higher self. Things got very quantum. It was sort of like current me and future me was here. And I know a lot of people, when they have a near-death experience, I think the image a lot of people get, especially people who haven't had them, is, you know, there was a white light. I didn't have any of that. There was no white light in this vision. It was almost, I think a lot of people would think it sounds like sort of almost a hellscape. There was fires and there was chaos and this sort of thing. But it wasn't, I don't believe it was hell. I think I've gone to just another realm. And there was a lot going on there. And I remember feeling when I was out of my body, again, I sort of had that childish come and catch me sort of air about me. And I remember being so happy that I was out of my body because, like I said, I'd been fatigued. I was in pain. I had joint pain, muscle pain. My mind wasn't working how I was used to. So I was just happy to be free out of my body, even if the surroundings were not that picturesque. I was just happy to be free. And I remember literally flying around the room. And I remember the feeling of I had the choice about whether I wanted to go back or whether I wanted to stay where I was. And I remember it was almost like two teams of beings or even energy sort of playing tug of war over me. I remember one side was going, we need her on this side fighting for us. And another side was going, we need her on Earth fighting for us. So there was sort of this element of like a battle, which, you know, some sort of spiritual battle, I would say. So, I remember being really torn about what I wanted to do because I was happy to be out of pain. And I felt like I wherever I was, it didn't feel new to me. It didn't feel strange. It almost felt a bit like I was going back to my home base sort of at this sort of battle. It felt like I knew what I was doing there. I wasn't afraid. It was almost like I had some sort of position in that realm. Like I was trying to say this humbly, but I had some sort of like authority there. And I'm still trying to figure out exactly what that means, but it feels like I had some sort of influence in whatever realm I was in. And I think that was that feeling I got where there were people saying, we need you here. So I felt strangely comfortable in this realm. And I remember being able to see the hospital I was in. So it was almost like, from my memory, it was like two realms had sort of crossed over. It's almost like imagine like two films and there's an overlay of like this spiritual battle and it had been put over the top of, you know, the hospital room. It felt like that. I think a lot of us, the first person we want to speak to when something like this happens, we go, where's God? And I remember feeling, I guess I would say the energy of God. I think it's what, you know, it wasn't the sitting on a cloud white beard image. It wasn't so much the sort of biblical God. It was, I would describe it as that God energy. You know, a lot of people call it the universal energy, or other different names. I felt that was there. And I felt, I guess I would say God say, what do you want to do? It was sort of, it was put very much in my hands about what happened next. I remember it was, what do you want to do? Do you want to go back or stay here? And I remember saying sort of, is it going to be easier if I go back? Because there seems like there's a lot of chaos here. And I remember hearing, either way, you're going to have to be working and fighting because there's stuff going on. I remember for a little while I went, I'll stay here, because I was having fun flying around. I thought, this is brilliant. I'll stay here. I'm not attached to my body here. I seem to know what I'm doing here. But then I remember I actually had a sense that this was my last lifetime, and if I didn't go back, that was it. I felt like I wasn't quite done here, which I think is very common, but I had this added sense that I'm not going to be able to come back in another life and finish any work that I didn't finish this life. And that was a new experience for me, because I think I've always believed in reincarnation, but I've never thought about the end point when you maybe don't reincarnate anymore. So I remember sort of changing my mind that I wasn't done here. And after that, you know, I suddenly went, I've got a daughter. Oh, I can't leave her right now. This is a bad time to leave her. And sort of all the earthly things started coming back in. And that's when I decided in the NDE that it was time for me to go back. And I sort of went back really, I wasn't ecstatic about it. It was sort of a, oh, all right, I'll go back there. I'll see you guys later feeling. And when I woke up, I feel like that was the end of the experience. I feel like a lot of other stuff happened, but I don't have the memory of it. I feel like maybe some stuff got blocked from my memory. I know deep down there that I maybe can tap in and access it, but day to day, I feel like some stuff has just been not made conscious for me while I'm here at the moment. But I remember waking up from the surgery, sort of, I think I remember almost waking up, you know, my eyes very heavy, and I thought I was awake, and then I went back down. And then when I woke up the second time, I had a very pale looking, pale and like sort of, you know, you look like you've seen a ghost nurse sitting next to me. And she was just holding my hand. She goes, do you remember what happened when you woke up earlier? And I said, no. And I said to her, was I really hard to wake up? And she goes, yeah. She says, do you remember what happened when you woke up? And I said, no. She goes, good. And that was all I knew about something happening at the time. So I didn't actually know until months later that I had been very, very hard to wake up from the surgery. I was going through a lot at that time, and my surgeon actually, I'm actually grateful for them. They didn't tell me straight away, we almost didn't get you back. Because that would have just been another thing on the load. So I'm actually grateful that they kept that. I think they knew me well enough to know that I wouldn't want to know that straight away. It was only a few months later, after I'd pieced together these visions and things, that I had to go and ask if that's what happened, and they told me yes. So that was That was probably one of the major near-death experiences I've had. I've had a couple when I was younger as well, but this one was very different. And when I was younger, they were more sort of the, I feel the euphoria and the white light and that sort of thing. But yeah, this one was very, very different. Yeah.
So did they tell you basically that you died during surgery?
I didn't need to be resuscitated. It was something to do with the anesthetic. So I know there was my vitals were really, really not great. Even going into the surgery, it was a little bit risky because my body was not strong. I had things going on with my heart rate. My heart rate was up here, you know, with doing no activity, and then it would plummet. So my blood pressure as well. So it was, my body was a little bit unstable before going into the surgery. And I think it was more that I just, I think I need to, I would love to speak to a doctor about this. I know in the past I have been very hard to get put to sleep for surgeries. And then, so I don't know if they sort of, is something to do with the dosage, but I usually do also have a hard time waking up. I don't know if that's because the dosage is up. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know how it works. But I have had that happen a couple of times where they say it took a long time for you to wake up. This one was more, we had a lot of trouble waking you up. So, yeah, like I said, it wasn't needing resuscitation. I don't know how long it took me to wake up, but everyone I saw, including my surgeon, everyone was a bit shaken up afterwards.
I guess when you use the words wake up, it's kind of like meaning that you were unconscious and they couldn't bring you back to consciousness.
That's what, yeah. I feel... It's really interesting because I think I've been torn a lot thinking about this between the terms out-of-body experience and near-death experience. I think for me there is not very much difference between the two. I've had near-death experiences, I believe, while I'm meditating just because of going out of my body and where I've gone during that. I think near death, I guess that's the thing, is in a way I feel like I did die in that surgery consciously. I feel that actually I've just realized I've left out a really key part of this story when I say I woke up and you're talking about consciousness. Thank you for jogging my memory. I remember when I was deciding to go back into my body, I mentioned that I felt like my higher self was there. I felt that, again, this is hard to explain, my higher self took over and is the person who came back here. I felt like the person I was before had to be let go. So it's really interesting. It's very quantum, on the quantum level, talking about my past self and my future self. But I think a big part of it was not being able to let go of that old self. So I did feel like I'd been replaced with sort of an upgraded version of my soul, I guess you could say. And there were still some lingering bits of the old self. I think there was something in me. My old self, I was a fighter. I didn't like giving up easily. I didn't like when things are unfair. I remember going, this is unfair. Even the whole, you know, being unwell and all that, it was, this is unfair that I'm going through this. I was really angry for the first time in my life. So it's almost like my former self was on like a revenge mission, like, no, I refuse to die. So I felt like I'd been sort of, I don't know if anyone else has been that. It's almost like sort of your soul replaced with another soul, even if that's yourself. But I felt like my old self was just that stubborn that she was trying to come crawling back and going, no, I'm not done yet. So, and that's really reflected, I guess, as well in trying to figure this out. I sometimes feel, again, like I'm getting pulled in those different directions.
So you're saying that an upgraded version of you came back after your NDE?
I believe so. I had, when I came back, I felt very different. One of the main things I noticed was all my fatigue had gone away. So I had been fatigued for 9 months. And suddenly I just had surgery and I suddenly had my energy back. Which sounds sort of counterintuitive. You know, I should have been recovering from the surgery, but I felt like literally felt like a new woman.
Is it possible that you were just healed instead of upgraded?
I think that's something I've thought about a lot. That's probably a good way to put it. It's one of those things that I don't have all the answers for what's happening on the other side. I think by nature, I want the answers and I try and figure things out. In reality, I'm not sure what it was, but I think whatever happened when I had that experience, it was like the quantum field had just gotten a bit wibbly-wobbly, I guess, you know, as Doctor Who would say. It was like things had glitched a little bit. And like I said, I felt that with where I, like the visions, I felt like the realms had crossed over. So I almost felt like there were a few different parallel versions of me as well, sort of glitching and crossing over. And I feel that maybe some little bits and pieces of different versions of me sort of got a bit tangled together. And that was really noticeable. I've noticed a lot how much your physical health and strength depends on being able to heal the more spiritual side of things. I noticed that I just sort of integrate a lot of these experiences. I've had to sort of strengthen my body up first because I was just too weak in all areas to make sense of any of this or be able to figure it out. But I feel that's a really interesting question about was I healed? I guess in a way I was, however it happened. And I guess however I did it, it was that I healed myself. I just had to call in a future version of me.
In what other ways have you changed since you've been back?
Right after this happened, so probably a week after my surgery, I began having a lot of experiences in my house with like electronics. I had a lot of, it was like my psychic abilities got tuned way up. So I've always been very sort of intuitive and I would say a little bit psychic. It's like the volume got turned up to max. After this surgery, I remember saying to a friend that I literally felt like I had been given new eyes. It was an eye surgery and I felt like that. I felt like I'd had new eyes given to me, like they'd literally been cleared out on the metaphysical level as well. So I was very aware of a lot of energies around me. I could sense, I guess, spirits in my house. one of the probably strangest experiences was I have a speaker that turned on by itself, and it was a Google speaker, and it sort of said, you know, it did the, okay, I'll play this song, even though I hadn't spoken or said anything that might set it off. And the song that came up was related to ghosts and spirits, and sort of the theme of the song was, I'm right in front of you and you can't see me. At first I sort of like laughed about it and went, what's going on? And I went through all the rational things going, I probably just, something happened, it heard a sound and it went through this. But I actually looked on my phone that was connected, and I'd seen that there was a playlist of songs queued up that were all related to, spirits and don't worry, I'm here. It's sort of, hello, can you hear me? I'm trying to get through that sort of theme of songs. When I looked back sort of on the log to see what set it off, there was nothing there. And as this was happening, I go to the scientific, you know, the rational, what's going on here, side of things. There was a light on the speaker that usually is solid, and it was flashing in a way that I haven't been able to recreate. So it was sort of this irregular little flashing light. So the first thing I tried to do after it stopped was recreate that. So I sort of went, is that the volume? Is it this, that? I haven't been able to recreate it. And I think what happened with the flashing light on that speaker is not possible to happen. So I had that experience happen. And then that night I was talking to a friend. We were doing a video chat and I was telling her about this. And funny things started happening with our mics and our headphones. And as I said, it's like my sensory perception had just gone way up, and I just felt that there was something around me. It was a bit like the veil had been lifted up on the sort of the realms that I think there's a lot of realms around us and activity around us all the time. I think that's what happens to some people, is they're just able to see it more clearly. I felt like the veil was non-existent anymore. So the speaker playing music, that was one of the first experiences I'd had where it wasn't just my feeling that something was going on. It was like a real life thing that happened. And I actually caught it on video. So I caught a video of the song playing. I caught a video of my reaction, which really shows that it wasn't just, you know, a prank I was doing. So it was like a lot of the things that in the past made me feel maybe I'm crazy, or other people think, oh, you know, she's lost it. I finally had evidence, hard evidence. And the same thing when I was speaking to my friend, she was witnessing noises in our microphones and all this stuff going on. The lights were, I was in this room actually, like I had lamps going out and the energy being drained and things like that. So that was really different for me, that I was having a lot more experiences that were, had physical evidence as well. Yeah.
Can you tell us more about the spiritual battles that are going on both here and on the other side?
Yeah. It's something that I almost had, I believe, like a premonition probably about a year before I got sick even. I've realized a lot of things. I seem to be about a year ahead. I will have a thought and know that I have to remember it. And it's almost like a prophetic vision. And then a year later, it makes a lot more sense. I remember a year before I got sick, a feeling that there was a battle going on. I think that was a big part of me needing to shift some things in my life. I knew that this is really tricky too. I always get blocked when I start talking about it.
What do you mean you get blocked? You're blocking?
It's a bit like that.
Or an entity's blocking you?
I'm actually not sure. I feel like there are entities that block me from speaking about it. Basically what happens, I feel like I go in knowing what I want to say, and then it's like I just get very, it's like it goes and I get off track. My words aren't coming out properly. I could feel like I've got something around me right now that's sort of maybe stopping it. I've had to discern what is around me as well. That has been a learning experience while I've had activity going on around me. There is something happening around me right now. I've got shivers. I've really had to learn what is positive and what is negative with entities and energies as well. I think a lot of the time there's some trickery going on. I think that actually that answers what I think is going on when I say there's some with spiritual battles going on in this world and the next world. I think a lot of people are having experiences where they're having abilities woken up. They're having more spiritual experiences and believing that it is a positive thing or that it's a positive entity. And I honestly think that that's a big part of this, that dragging feeling that I explained earlier. I felt like I was being sucked down, I guess I would say, over to a negative side. I feel like that's happening a lot with people in the world today. People are wanting comfort. They are starting to seek answers. A lot of it is just stress relief. People are going to, you know, they're starting meditation or joining groups and getting Reiki as more of a relaxation stress relief. I feel, pardon me, I just need a drink. I feel that there is a big negative force that is trying to suck people over to, I guess you could say, the dark side. What the reason for that is, I don't know. What scares me a lot is a lot of people don't know that they're maybe doing that. And I'm talking about, I guess, a lot of spiritual practitioners, so people who are doing Reiki and doing healings and things like that. I feel like not everyone's intentionally doing it, but I feel like a lot of those people are under some sort of influence lately, and they don't even know it. So I remember in my experience being shown that there's some sort of battle going on and I needed to be strong to deal with whatever's going on. So I remember feeling like that's why I was healed, to be able to deal with that. I feel like I am eventually meant to be doing some sort of healing work in a helping role. It's not going to be love and light. I think it is being able to discern between different energies and help people who are struggling with darker energies. I feel like that's almost what I've been put through. It's almost like a boot camp to learn about, like get the feeling for what is what. And I have been tricked. I've had experiences where I thought, maybe my ancestors were present around me and I turned out to be wrong about that. So, I wish I knew the answer for why this is happening. but I don't have it. Yeah, I don't have the answer for what is actually going on. What I really do want to do is try through meditation to get back to the higher self state I was in when I did know what was going on and get that insight. She knows what's going on up there. But like I said, sometimes when I come back into this realm, I guess I get a bit confused about it. Yeah. I think there is something related to electricity regarding that. Like I said, I started having a lot of experiences in my house with light bulbs and, you know, my phone started to play a song and turning itself on. And there's a big theme with music around me. It will be like I get messages through songs and songs will start playing on their own, things like that, yeah.
Has the memories of this experience faded over time?
They haven't, actually. I think where I started with the dream where I was put in a coffin, that is still as vivid as the day I had that dream. The near-death experience is still really vivid. It hasn't faded. Like I said, it's almost like, it's like I'm not meant to say everything that I saw in there. I feel like that's part of me being blocked, is maybe I'm not supposed to say what I think happened there. I don't know if that's about, you know, maybe it's not the right time, but it's still very, very, very vivid. I've actually been, it's one of those things I wish I could draw. I wish I could take a photo inside my mind. I actually tried doing it with AI art generator at the time that it happened. It was really interesting. I wrote down just a description of what happened. I didn't write anything to prompt sort of the scene that it was in, but just from me describing a lot of the feelings that I had, it was able to generate a lot of what I remember. So I think that's the main thing, is that there's something that I've been blocked from remembering when I'm down here. Yeah.
What inspires you about your NDE?
I think what inspires me, I do remember feeling inspired about how powerful and empowered, I guess is the word, empowered I felt in that experience. In my physical experience, I was feeling very weak inside and out. And I didn't have much hope that I was going to get better. It was one of those times I just didn't know that I was going to get better. It was the first time in my life I said, I don't know if I will get out of this. But in that experience, I knew for certain that I was strong and I could get out of this and I could do anything. I could battle whatever, I guess, demons were around me. I wasn't afraid of anything in that experience. And I think before this experience, I wasn't like that at all. I think I really underestimated myself and a lot of my abilities. I think that comes from a lot of, you know, a lot of trauma and that sort of thing. But I saw, it was like I was shown really clearly and without a doubt that I am capable of a lot of amazing things. So I really, really carry that with me. A really interesting thing that I've had to learn to live with was feeling like I'd left my old life behind, but in the 3D, still surrounded by my old life. So it's been things like I've wanted to be in a different house, but because I've been unwell, I haven't had the money to do that. So it was this really frustrating thing of being in the wrong house and in the wrong space. What helped me with that was the realization that I did have to treat what had happened as if it was a death. I realized with a lot of things that are going on, and this sort of goes back to, I guess, quantum theories, I felt like a lot of the ghost activity in my house was me. So it sounds so strange. I felt, again, those parallel universes crossing over. I realized a lot of the things were going on. It was almost like I was the ghost in my own house. I felt like the energy from my time before the experience was still in the house, and I hadn't changed that. So I still had things like I was halfway through writing something when I first got sick, and it was stuck like in time on my desk, and I hadn't touched that note for 6 months. It was like time just stopped when I got sick. And I feel like my soul at that time went out of my body even then. So when I'd had my experience, I sort of had that realization that I've got this, I feel like I've got a new life, I've got a second chance, but I haven't let go of my old self. And I remember a feeling like I need to have a funeral for my old self. And I burst into tears. I just remember this feeling like she's gone and she's not, she can't come back, you know. Which I think is pretty, it's really hard to explain. I realized though, I did sort of a ritual for my old self where I did have a funeral to say goodbye, and a lot of the activity in my house stopped after that. So I really do wonder if there was an element of my own energy, like I said, sort of being the ghost in this house and being frustrated that she couldn't come out.
Is it possible that you have been fundamentally changed just from the experience of the NDE? So just in that way, you're not your old self anymore.
That's exactly right. I do feel that. It's a massive thing that I've gone through. I think it would be strange if I wasn't changed and wasn't feeling like a whole new person. I think that I'm really interested at the times that my train of thought goes away, because it just did it again then. It just did it again then. So it's almost like I don't know if I'm trying to rationalize it and say, no, I am a totally different person. That's really interesting.
It's kind of like somebody who went to war, you know, and they fought battles and saw terrible things happen. And when they come back, they're just a fundamentally different people from what they experienced.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? That's been really interesting. I work in mental health, and I work with people who have a lot of PTSD and trauma, and it's been really challenging navigating a spiritual experience that has a lot of the elements of people who've been through a war or a battle in real life. It's not the sort of thing that people feel comfortable going to, say, a psychiatrist or psychologist about. It really seems black and white. People think you either have to go to a doctor and treat spiritual experiences like a medical issue, and the other side thinks that you have to go to spiritual teachers, and there's really no in between. when a lot of the time both are needed. People who've been through near-death experiences, it is a trauma for a lot of people. And I think people don't feel free to talk about it freely. I think that's evident with me too. I still struggle putting it into words. I think people are scared of what might happen to them if they say something to the wrong person.
Do you think that you're still processing this NDE?
I think for me, I'm still processing being back here, which is really actually important to talk about, because I think there's a false idea out there that people who have an NDE will come back and they'll be grateful they came back and they got a second chance. For a long time, I didn't feel that way. I felt upset that I had to come back because, like I said, I felt so empowered over the other side. So I think the adjustment for me has not been, oh my gosh, I can't believe I had this experience. The adjustment for me is being on planet Earth, which, to be honest, I've felt that way since I was a child. I've always felt like I'm a bit on the wrong planet. That's always been, I think, the adjustment for me. In the spiritual world, things are amazing. It's the 3D world that I struggle with, and I've never been, I think it takes a lot of conditioning to feel comfortable on Earth, and I've never felt that way. Yeah. So I think that has been a big part of almost the trauma, has been having to come back to the 3D world. Yeah.
Well, quite a few of my guests are angry when they come back.
That's actually such a huge emotion that I had. And part of the big change for me was I had never expressed anger in my life. I was angry not only at coming back, I was angry. I felt like my life had been stolen from me in a way. I was angry that I had to literally fight to get my soul back in my body. I was angry that I'd lost so many things just from being ill. And I was angry that I was not getting any help or support for going through an illness. And I really had to learn to express that anger. I think that was part of all the purpose for me going through this, is I had so much anger that I had always repressed. I was always the happy, positive, smiling person, no matter what's going on. I didn't realize how much anger I had stored up in my body, which actually I think possibly could have led to why I had a lot of autoimmune problems in the first place. It was like my body just couldn't cope with any more of that anger. And it's sort of related to that, like heat in my body. That was the feeling, relates to, you know, like I'm on fire on the inside and it's stuck in there, not being able to be vented out. And I had to learn to get that out, I think, in a healthy and safe way. I've done things like I've gone and screamed at the ocean and things like that. That was really, really a big part of it for me. And I think dealing with the fact that I felt angry, I almost felt a bit guilty that I was feeling angry and negative about coming back, because there's a lot of people who don't get that opportunity. It was like I was had to work through why I wasn't feeling grateful. I've reached a point now where I am. I think things have still been settling a lot. And like I said, I've had to discern a lot of things that are going on around me and process and piece things together. So I'm at a point now where I'm ecstatic that I came back. I think I am still processing a lot of it. At the same time, I feel like there's something blocking it. I've been able to talk about things and have insights flow out of me at certain times, and then other times it's like there's a shield up from me being able to do it. Which is really interesting too. That's going to be something I think, give me another year and I'll be looking back and I would have pieced all that together and figured out what that was about. I do feel like it is something external going on rather than just trying to process or struggling to say it the right way. I do feel like it's something external.
Do you fear death at all?
I don't fear death. I think I don't fear death. I see that. Let me think about this. I don't think fear death. I think I have to be careful with that sometimes. Like I said, when I was having the near-death experience, I've always almost been a bit, like I said, like a naughty child, like having too much fun and maybe a bit too bold running towards death. And I think a lot of people confuse that with maybe not wanting to be here or maybe even feeling suicidal. A lot of people think if you're not afraid of death or you're playing in these realms that it means that. But I think for me, because I've seen so many things in my life, having out-of-body experiences, I'm not afraid of it. I know where I'm going as long as these battles stop. That's the catch is I've felt in the past that I know where I'm going. But I do feel like there's something going on behind the scenes where I can't be so sure of that anymore. And that might be what the battle is about. That I'm struggling to figure out the words for. I know a lot of people would say it's a battle between, you know, heaven and hell, God and the devil. I don't quite relate to it in that sort of simple of terms. I feel like there's other things at play going on with that. Yeah, so I don't fear death, but there's something going on. I'm not racing to get there anytime soon. That's what I'll say. I'm happy to have a long life and just wait and see, maybe when things calm down a bit.
If you compared the reality of this side to that one, which side is more real?
I can honestly say I feel the other side was more real to me. I think in essence it felt more real. Like I said, I felt empowered. I felt like I wasn't struggling to have knowledge coming to me and insight. It felt natural, even in that chaotic state. My, I guess, essence of myself felt more real and authentic.
Could you say that this side is more dreamlike or more like a simulation?
I was just about to say, I think a lot about the are we in a simulation. I feel a little bit like there isn't too much difference between the two a lot of the time. That does depend what state I am in. If I go into certain states of meditation, I can reach a point where the two are hard to tell apart. And so I can see things in this world that might not be able to be seen otherwise. So it really is mostly, I feel, in our own minds It's a bit like the simulation filter, if we are in a simulation, is within us and we are able to tune things in and out. I feel like it's tricky to say it's more dreamlike here. Things make less sense here, I guess, in the sense of dreamlike. I feel like a lot of things that happen on Earth don't make zero sense. And then I go into other states, into out-of-body states, to process what I'm seeing here. It's a bit the opposite of, say, if you have a dream and you wake up and then go, what was that dream about, and pick it apart. I feel a bit backwards. I have to go into out-of-body states to make sense of things going on Earth or going on with me, and then I go, right, got it now. Back I go, yeah. So I think there's really, it's really, it used to be a lot easier to tell the difference or to answer that, to say, like, does it feel more dreamlike here or on the other side? I feel like something's really switched around on the planet where it is hard to tell the difference a lot of the time. And I that was a theme, actually, while I was in my experience. When I think I said I felt like I was being upgraded, I did feel like the upgrade I received was so that I would be able to cope with that when I came back. I think there's a lot of strange things going on in the 3D world that terrifies a lot of people, especially people who've never had any sort of paranormal experience. So I think I was shown visions that weren't so love and light, maybe so that I could learn to not be so afraid. It was almost like being conditioned to be ready to see more paranormal activity happening here in the 3D. It was almost, like I said, a boot camp. And I remember I said, of being told, like, I can choose whether I have to sort of battle over here or battle on Earth, because either way there is something going on where things are crossing over and glitching a bit. Yeah.
Well, after watching this podcast, people may want to reach out to you and ask you questions. Are you open to that? And if so, how can they contact you?
I am absolutely open to that. I think it's so important to be able to talk about these things. I think part of it is reason, is what I'm going through now. I'm struggling to even verbalize a lot of the things that I've been through. So I'm very happy to, like, compare experiences or share insights with people about things like this. Especially, I'm not afraid of exploring the darker, shadowy sides of experiences like this. So people can find me on Facebook. Just search Trisha Linane, T-R-I-S-H-A, and my last name is L-E-N-A-N-E. That's my name on Facebook and Instagram. I'm happy for people to get in touch with me there. I think that's actually a big part of my purpose going through this. I want to be able to change the, I guess, the system that we're living in, where these things are difficult to talk about. I think it's so important that we people feel safe to speak authentically about experiences like this. I've noticed a lot of the problem that a lot of spiritual experiences in themselves aren't really troublesome. It's how you're treated for having them, I think, a lot of the time that is troublesome. So I do envision a world where we are able to talk more freely about these things without fear. Yeah. So I'm very happy for anyone to get in touch with me. And even if you can sort of help me pick apart some things, and I think what I really want to piece together is the bit I've been stuck on is what is actually going on? What is the reason things are getting a bit glitchy? Yeah. So very happy to chat to people about that. Yeah.
Well, before we finish up, can you give us one last positive message?
The one thing I've known through this experience, and a lot of it has been very dark, a lot of it has been uncomfortable to talk about, the end result of whatever is going on is that everything is going to be okay. A lot of time things get very, very dark before they get very, very light. I sort of relate how light things are going to get compared to how dark it gets before that. So I feel like the world is going to change in some big ways, and it's going to be absolutely beautiful when we get there. It's a bit like we're going through the birthing stage of that, and the labor and the hard part of that. I guess that's the summary of what I feel. So I think a lot of people are going to have difficult experiences and funny things going on. I believe the thing to keep in mind is that that's going to lead to something beautiful. And I think it's going to be a more authentic world where we can be more authentic with each other. So that's the sort of the vision to hold on to. I think if anyone's going through something that's really scary or seems like you're not going to be able to get through it, I think that's the vision to hold on to. There's good things coming. Yeah.
Tricia, thank you for your message, and thank you for being my guest.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thanks for watching the Jeff Mara podcast. I really appreciate you. Another way to show support is through YouTube memberships. And if you do, there are loyalty badges and other perks depending on your level of membership. All you need to do is click the join button underneath the video to find out more. Thank you for your support.